We're going to read the end of chapter 4 of 1 John. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Can you say that with me? God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we're like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love, you got a paper Bible, you can underline this part right here. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's lying. Not about the hating part, but about the loving part. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen, and he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Lord, I thank you that you are good, and I thank you that you are mighty, and I thank you that you have called us into this place this morning so that we can understand your plan for us. Do you glorify yourself in our midst? Do you guide and direct us? I'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. I believe God has something for us. I believe God has something for us all the time. But I think this is a rather special message. It might be challenging to some. It'll be a blessing to some. Well, we're going to talk about the love of the Lord. I want to talk about Wednesday night. Wednesday night, I just mentioned it, that we are indeed working the Word. And I was talking with Tommy Banks, and he said, so how does that work? Tell me about the reading log again. And I said, well, you get a reading log and you read the New Testament and the Old Testament. We go through the New Testament stuff. And we're going to be going through the book of Revelation on Wednesday night. And Revelation 17, the woman on the beast. And I said, it's a thick piece of scripture. And he was excited. And we started the Bible studies here for worship, and then he was gone. And he slid into service about, I don't know, 5 minutes before the end of time, maybe 3 minutes to eight, something like that. And I talked to him afterward, and I said, so Tommy, where'd you go? He said, I went to go look for Steve. And many of you know Steve. Steve lost his place 4 months ago, 5 months ago, something like that. 4 months ago, and we found a place for Steve to live. But he's fixed in his mind that he's got that this guy is gonna come and set him up with this place. And he's been waiting literally on the street for months. And Tommy will take him to his doctor's appointments, and Tommy will go and take him a bottle of water. Because the doctor said he's not doing good because he's all dehydrated. He can't heal. And he takes some clothes and takes him to his doctor's appointments and takes his medications. And when his medications get stolen because he leaves them around, takes them back to the pharmacy and makes sure that he gets his medications refilled. And he really cares for Steve. But we haven't seen Steve in about 10 days. And then on Wednesday night, Dave Ward walks in and says, I saw Steve on my way in. And so as soon as Tommy could, he dashed out to go try and find him. And he looked a whole hour and he couldn't find him. And you know, that's an act of love. God has placed Steve on Tommy's heart. And Tommy's responded. We're in this series called Finding Fullness in Christ. And we've been going through it for almost 2 months now. We got 5 weeks in one of them. So this is eighth message. And we talk about finding fullness in Christ. And that's the purpose of our church, that you would find, that we would find our fullness in Christ. And there's three areas. And I'm hoping I'm going to be able to come up to some of you and ask you about these three areas, because I probably mentioned these three areas six times in the last 8 weeks. But we want you, our purpose, that you would find fullness in Christ, three specific areas: fullness in your relationship with God, fullness in your relationship with one another, and fullness in the expression, how God has supernaturally created you to glorify Him. That sound okay? We have principles that we use to accomplish that. Four principles. And this is what we spent our time on the last 8 weeks. We depend on God. We develop people. We display God's love. And we desire the presence of God. Well, I spent 7 weeks on the first two. And so we are getting to displaying God's love today. Like Tommy is. Like many of you in this building this morning. Display God's love. Because you have received something from Him. See, if you have received Jesus as your Savior, you are going to live a life of love. I can tell many of you are doing that. Because it's something that I can see. And the love that John is going to describe today as we go through 1 John is a love that you can see. What Tommy is doing, it's not a love that he learned, it's a love that he received. See, we love because God first loved us. Amen? And because He loved us, He has made a deposit in us that will overflow into the lives of others. And if you have received that deposit, you're going to see it coming out of you. You're going to be full of love. So I ask you this question. Have you got love? It's something that you receive. It's something that you catch. Sin is something that you get from the world. And it is incompatible with your life in Christ. You can't grab onto sin and grab onto Jesus at the same time. You got to grab onto one and let go of the other one. The title of today's message is Living Like Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to go through 1 John today. Some of you guys are going to be blessed, and some of you are going to think, I'm stepping on your toes. But I'm just reading from 1 John. We're going to talk about Jesus living in love. All right, I'm going to spend our time in 1 John. I'm going to start at chapter 4, which is kind of a summary kind of chapter there, kind of wraps everything up. And chapter 2 is heavy. So we're going to dip into 2 a little bit along the way, because I don't want anybody to feel clubbed all at once. All right, so 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So the love that you got, the love that Tommy's got, that comes from heaven. It is a gift that we receive. It is what God's people display in their lives. Because if you don't got love, you're not one of God's people. Now, the love that John is going to describe to us today in 1 John is targeted primarily at the family of believers. It is targeted at the church, targeted at those who call Christ brother and our Father. We grab onto Him as Abba Father. Amen. Now, Jesus says that we should love our enemies. We're not going to go that far today. Maybe one day. Everybody went, okay. It's hard enough loving the family. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Word agape. I'm hoping that you are familiar with that, because I describe it often. It is a sacrificial love. Agape love is a love that assesses a need and then meets that need. Agape love does not have so much to do with giving roses. or taking a walk in the park. It has to do more with getting somebody dinner on the table and maybe even a ride to the doctor. Are you tracking with me? Jesus was the epitome of love. Amen? And he met a rich young ruler one day, and he said, the young ruler said, what do I got to do to get heaven? He says, sell all you got, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And the rich young ruler went away sad. He did not condemn a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, but he did say, don't go back to your life of sin. See, sometimes love is a cup of cool water, and sometimes love is a word of correction or a word of encouragement. Amen? All right. I'm not trying to step on your toes. All right, chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister. We're talking about what? We're talking about the family. Is still in darkness. Darkness is not good. Can I get a witness? All right, we'll stay away from the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. So hatred is a display of darkness. Now, when I think of hate, I think of an active emotion, a desire to harm. Hatred, can you see that? Hatred springs from pain. Your pain or somebody's pain that is close to you. The hatred that I'm talking about, there is a desire to get even. Anybody know what we call that? What do we call that? We call that revenge. Anybody here? Yeah, see, now John's talking about something different. We start reading John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and John's definition of hatred is the absence of love. Where love is not present, that's where hatred is. The lack of love is a display of a lack of connection with God. Hatred is a display of a connection with darkness, and inside you there's no life. There's only death. You know, I was here on Thursday evening late. I was doing a project. I was running up to the auto parts store. And so church was closed up, and I was leaving, and there was that wonderful little group of young men that hangs out catacorner from the church. Have you seen them? Sometimes there's some young girls that hang around with them. Today there was only, or that day, Thursday, there was only young men from the age of about 12 to 18. And they had their phones, and they had their scooters. And I pulled up to the stop sign, and two of the younger ones, maybe 13, there's, I don't know, 8 or 10 of them, up to about 18 years old. And these two of the smaller ones started tussling. You know, tussling. They weren't joking around. And they were yanking, and I'm looking at this, and all of a sudden they break apart, and they start throwing fists. And you know, them other boys, they're on their phones. I mean, they're surrounding this. They're just on their phones. It's so common. They didn't even notice. So I drive up, and I gotta move over a little bit. As I'm in my car, and I stop, and these two kids are wailing on each other, and they are as far from me to that screen. And I'm figuring, I'm the pastor. Didn't even care. This one kid, about 18, kind of gives me a... In the dark, completely unaware of where they're headed. Amen? All right. Let's keep going. Jesus, God calls us into his family, and Jesus moves us into love. John chapter 3, we'll spend most of our time, one little dip back into chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 here. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now, we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everybody's got this hope, purifies himself, just like Jesus is pure. God makes us part of the family. To make this happen, he moves us away from the world. Now, the world described here, utilized here, is a system of evil that is in the grip of Satan. The further you get from the world, the further you're going to get from the devil. And God calls us into the family so that we can be close to him. And the longer you spend time in the family, the more you're going to look like Jesus. Now, when he comes back, our transformation is going to be made complete. And we don't know what that transformation is going to quite look like. But we know it's going to be better than this. Can I get a witness on that, Selma? I'm going to be waiting on no knee operation. Pastor Scott got tricked back. It's just been a trick. And I got no hair. I know, Paul, you're okay with that. You know, I heard in heaven everybody's going to be bald. We're just ahead of the game. We don't know what it's going to look like. But it's going to be better than what we got now. Now, that's the hope of the church. See, the hope of the church is that Jesus is coming back. And if you are hoping for his return, you're prepping for it. You're getting ready now. You're trying to get rid of some of that filth that you can pick up from the world. Because when he shows up, you don't want to be ashamed. Can I get a witness on that? This cleansing is a display of your hope. It is a display of your position in the family. It is a display of what you have received from God. So if you aren't getting any cleaner, you got to wonder what you're hoping on. Amen? All right. Chapter 2. I told you about chapter 2. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And that's pretty much straight up. Right? Let me read it for you again, nice and slow. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires are going to pass away. But whoever does the will of God is going to live forever. So God gives us a choice. You can choose him or you can choose the devil, but you can't choose both. You can't have sin and Jesus, because sin is incompatible with your life in Christ. James writes about it, chapter 4, verse 4, says, "You adulterous people." Now, adulterous is not a compliment. I mean, in our culture, not a problem. "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." See, your love of the world will cut you off from the love of God, either receiving it or displaying it. So if you don't got no love going on, you might have something else going on. Now, what might you have going on? John describes it. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. That lust of the flesh is selfish, shameless. That lust of the eyes, everything I see, oh, I want it. It's like a two-year-old. Mine, mine, mine. Know what I'm talking about? That last one, he talks about the pride of life. That's me, me, me. And that's what that sinful life is. It's a life that is focused on me and what I want. And if you are grabbing onto that, when you get it, that's all you're going to get, because it's going to pass away. But God's love and God's mercy are new every morning. And they are going to last forever and ever and ever. Amen. That love is something you're going to get, and you're going to get it from God. Amen. You know, we had youth game night at our house. My wonderful daughter planned it. And we had 6, 7, 8 youth over. They were laughing, they were jumping, they were squealing, they were doing all kinds of fun things. I was in the back room working, having fun the way I do. But Leanne was, she was had a little turmoil because Sam had gotten tickets to the concert here on Friday night called Need to Breathe. And Need to Breathe is a Christian rock band that is a favorite of Leanne's. And Sam said, "I got a big night planned." And it would have been easy to just say, "Oh, we're going to have to reschedule game night. I got something else going on. Something more important going on. Something that's grabbed my eye. And you guys can just wait." But Leanne said, "Sam, you got to find somebody else to go with, because I got some plans already made." See, that love of Christ comes your way. Sometimes there's a cost that you got to pay. I have to wonder, how much is your Christianity costing you? Because sometimes that cost, we just call that love. Amen. See, love is something that we get from God, and it is something to show what you got when it comes flowing out. Last thing I got for you. Love is something that you can see. We're not going back to chapter 2 anymore. You can go, whew. Chapter 2, you can read it on your own just for enlightened reading. Hallelujah. Verses 3:7-10. "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray." Let me say that again. I said it so clearly. Dear children, don't be led astray. There's people out there that will get you off track. Can I get a witness on that? The one who does what is right is righteous just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. And this is how we know who the children of God are. so you can see it. And this is how we know who the children of the devil are. You can see it. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. The world will get you off track. The devil will rip you off. He is a sinner, and he has been sinning from the beginning, and he wants to get you to follow him. He got Adam to follow him, and we have been following in lockstep ever since. And Jesus came to break that up. Jesus comes to set you free from a life of sin. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to move into that freedom. Moving away from the world. You can't grab on to Christ and the world at the same time. The family is the ones that are moving into that freedom. Family is the one that are purifying themselves. When you let go of all that me-focused sin, some of that others-focused love can start to flow out of you. See, the love of God is something that you get and something that shows everybody else what you got. It's something that you can see. People see that in you this week. Some say yes. Some say no. Some say, I don't know. Well, ask somebody else. They'll tell you what they saw. Last thing I got for you, verses 16 to 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. Jesus is our model. Jesus is our guide. He laid down his life for us, and if we're going to follow him, we need to be like him. He lived a sacrificial life, and if you're going to follow him, there will be a cost to your Christianity. The opportunity to cover that cost is when you see your brother or your sister in need. Love sees a need and meets that need. It's not something that's just spoken. Love is something that you can see. What'd you see this week? John says, let's not just talk a good life, but let's live a good life. Hatred is the absence of love. Hatred is the absence of action. Love is something that you get from God. And it displays what you have received. So, got love? How much your Christianity cost you last week? Are you actively living out your relationship with God? Because some of you are thinking, oh yeah, this, and this, and this. See, the love of God is not something that you learn. You can't learn to do what Tommy does with Steve. What Tommy does with Steve is a result, is a function of the love that he has received from God. And it just comes flowing out of him. And you see it. And the people that have received that love, if you're full, it comes flowing out. It's a display of what you've got from God. Amen? Understand that? Some of you are sitting here thinking, not so much. You can come on up, Lisa. You go back through the last week, and you can't remember any of that love flowing. I got to ask you if you've got Jesus. Because if you've got love, you've got Jesus. John tells us, if you don't love, you don't got Jesus. And that's not going to feel very comfortable right now. But we can fix that. You might be thinking of some acts of love that have come your way in the last week. Right now, the Lord would be just reminding you of that. He might be saying, I died on the cross for you, but you've never received me as your Savior. I got three steps. You can surrender your life to the Lord right now. You can turn away from your life of sin, and then you can begin to fill up. Next week you come in here, you'll feel a little bit like Tommy. You have some action going on. You have some love going on. So maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, I just feel empty. Lord, I don't want to feel empty anymore. I don't want to do nothing anymore. Lord, I want to be filled up with you. Lord, I want to surrender my life. I want to receive you as my Savior. You're here this morning. You want to become part of the family of God. Nobody's looking around. I want you to bow your heads with me and you say, Lord, I want to know you as my Savior. Let me just slide your hand up and say, that's me this morning. I want to come into the family of the Lord. I want to know him as my Savior. Somebody else would say that this morning. Say, that's me right here. Amen. Somebody would say, Lord, I need to know you. Lord, I don't want to have nothing going on anymore. Lord, I want to be part of the family. Somebody else would say, that's me this morning. I want to come in right here. Amen. Anybody else? Say, that's me. That's me. Maybe you got a little purification that needs to be going on. A little too much of the world going on. I mean, God has invited you into his family. He said, Lord, I want to be in the family, but you're just struggling with letting go of the world, struggling with letting go of some of that sin, struggling letting go of some of the things that are making you impure. And the Lord's saying, can't have both, child. Time to move closer to me, move away from the world. That's you this morning. You got some stuff that's keeping you from filling up. You know exactly what it is. The Lord's just pointing it right out to your heart. He says you need to drop that off. Move towards me. God's speaking to your heart this morning. Just slide your hands up and say, Lord, okay, we're going to do a little bit of work here. Lord, I understand what you're saying right here. And somebody else say, yeah, that's me. That's me. Last thing I got for you, it's filling up. Fill up on the word. Fill up on prayer. It helps that love start percolating in your life.